But my sermon, the sermon title this morning is Move from the Altar to the Porch. And it's sort of connected with the, is it 4 days fasting, eh? Yeah, 4 days fasting, because I think we'll break the fast on the Thursday. Anyone? Yeah, that's good with admin. Thursday. Wednesday night. Nandi says no, Thursday night. If she says it's Thursday, then it's Thursday. At least for me. But I almost think it's Thursday night. So it's sort of tied in with, I mean, because God is giving us 4 days out of a year to literally fast and pray and seek Him. Now it's 4 days. It's literally 4 days that we have to go to the altar to really go and lay our lives down again, because we need to lay our lives down daily. And me and Nandi spoke the other day, and she said, she's like, all her prayers is basically, God, I need you. God, I need you. And that's actually what we need to pray. Like, we literally need God every day. If you can tell me that you don't need God a certain day, then that's very dangerous to say. But our prayers literally, like, is in our house is, God, we need you. And it's not because we need God because of finances or because of whatever it is. We just need God. We don't want to do anything without God. We don't want to be at a place where we literally don't ever say a day that, God, I need you. Because once we start to say, God, I need you, it means we are filled with whatever life fills us with. And we're in the growth path. We're busy with Connect. But today is a message sort of tied to the prayer and fast. And it is mostly about our intercession before the Lord, our prayer before the Lord. But it's more than just intercession. It's actually moving from the place of prayer to the place where God wants to actually use us all. And it sort of goes back to abiding in the Lord, because if we aren't abided, then it's impossible to actually pray to the Lord, because you're not connected. If I'm not connected to this hut, then I won't feel it. I'm going to move away, but God wants us to abide, to connect, so that we are able to pray, to seek Him, to actually move from prayer to whatever God has called us to do. And I'm really in my spirit feeling that God is busy stirring an urgency in our church, and hopefully in the global church as well. But I specifically feel that there's an urgency where it's life or death, in a sense. We don't have that physical threat of life and death, but in my spirit, I'm feeling life or death. Either choose life or choose death. So in my spirit, I'm feeling I have to constantly make these small decisions, life or death, life or death, life or death. So I'm sensing something is coming, something is about to happen, and I really feel that, yeah, like, God is really busy, and when God stirs urgency, then we need to really start to become urgent. But I'm like, for where we are now as a family, and this is happening this last 4 weeks, or five weeks, but our prayer life is literally, God, if you want us to sell whatever we have to send us somewhere, then so be it. So we really just, God, we just want to be obedient. That's it. And obedient in the big things and obedient in the smaller things. But I'm really sensing that obedience is actually what also stirs the urgency. Because if God calls us to something and we look away, it means we're not urgent. You know, so I want to invite you into this journey of really living urgently, even though we have good lives, even though we're comfortable, but I really feel that God is calling us to a spiritual urgency. For what it is, I don't know, but we can see with other countries, we can see that something is happening, and we need to be alert. We need to have that urgency, because if it comes this side, doesn't need to be an attack or a war, but whatever it is, that I really feel that God is saying to be urgent. If you have your Bibles here, I want you to turn to this verse that will hopefully stir urgency. But it's in Ezekiel 36, verse 33 to 34. It says, "Thus says the Lord your God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will also enable you to dwell in the cities, and the ruins shall be rebuilt. the desolate land shall be tilled instead of laying desolate in the sight of all who pass by. And I feel like with prayer and fasting, 4 days that God has given us, I really feel that this is like the thing that I feel like I'm going to spend time in this. Like, this is what God is saying. This says the Lord, on the day that He cleanses us, He will enable us to dwell in the cities. Because, I mean, we need a rebuilding of the ruins. Like, if we look around us, like, things are desolate. Things are lost. Things need to be redeemed. And I believe if we as, and I want to invite you again, if we as a church, as a body, focus on this specific verse and really pray into this, and we intercede into this, I believe God will use us in this area. And we will start to see revival. Because we need a revival. But the thing is, like, if revival doesn't start in our prayers, then it's going to be impossible that revival is going to come, right? I mean, why would God ever give us revival if it's not prayed in? We'll waste it. I mean, why would God ever say, here's revival, but you haven't prayed in it, but I'll give it to you anyway. But we'll get to that. So what is the biblical meaning of revival? And it's a quote from Robert Gilman that I want to read, sort of sums it up. It says, the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. So I think when we think of revival, we think of those people that don't know the Lord, they're going to know the Lord. But it's all of us. It's a quickening. It's that urgency. It's that revival in our hearts that's saying, God, like, I need you. I'm laying my life down. I'm laying my stuff down. I'm laying myself down. I'm laying my time down. I'm putting my life on the altar, in a sense. I'm saying, God, use me. If we all know, I believe, if we all know that we are called by God, if you are son and daughter and you know that I'm called by God, I believe we will take this city for Jesus. Like, I'm 100% certain, with 110%, 0.95555. But this morning, a big part of my message is about the double anointing that God has given us. Whatever God has called you to do, like, He has sealed it in the double anointing. I don't know if you heard of that before. And I believe it's the foundation for every believer. If you said yes to the Lord, God has anointed you with that double anointing. And I'll get into that in a bit. What does the double anointing actually mean? But I believe it's for anyone. It's for any child of God. The day you gave your life to the Lord, you received that double anointing. And you shifted from, I shifted from who I was 7 years to who I am in the Lord now. And I was blind, now I see. I was deaf, now I hear. I was lost, now I'm found. I was in dark, now I'm in light. It's going to go on forever. But God took me from where I were, and I was really lost. I actually didn't know what New Testament, Old Testament meant. I didn't know Jesus came in the New Testament. I do not know that at the age of 21. But anyway, so God really took me from a place where I was to where I need to be. And He's given me the double anointing. He's taken you from where you were, Stephen, Richard, Rian, Yola Amal, wherever you were, to that place where God wants you to be. And that's to walk under that anointing of God, under that double anointing that God has given us. And regardless of your age, you might be young, you might be 6 years old, God still will use you. And He's still anointed you if you've fully given your life to Him. If you're 60, if you're 80, okay, hopefully no one is 80 here, but if you're 80, you still have the double anointing. God is still giving you. If you give your life to the Lord at the age of 100, you still have that double anointing. So it's literally to anyone that says, Lord, use me, I want you, God says, poof, double anointing. You physically don't see it, but you start to realize something feels a bit different, you know. And the message this morning is literally just the foundation of what is going to happen tonight. So Kobus asked me to lead the prayer tonight as well, but this message is literally a foundation, and it's more theory, but tonight is the practical side of this message, and I'll tell you more about that. I need to keep you awake, so I'm going to say, I'll tell you more about that, see if it works. So the day you gave your life to the Lord, the day you accepted God as your Lord and Savior, you entered into the double anointing, into the priesthood and the kingship of God. And that is the double anointing, and I'll go a bit into that as well. But what was shared this morning, I believe, is so significant to the message, because God is busy showing us through His Word that I've anointed you to walk in that anointing. And sometimes we forget that God has actually anointed us to do what He has called us to do. And that has to do with what God has called us all to do and what He has sealed in Jesus. In Revelation 5, verse 9 to 10, if you have your Bibles here, I want you to look through it. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So what I want you to focus on is the kings and priests part that I highlighted for you guys. For those who's wearing glasses, I've highlighted that for you. So priests aren't more important than kings, and kings aren't more important than priests, right? It's sort of the same thing, but if you move in kingship, then you sort of move in the authority that God has given you. So if you think of a king in the Old Testament, even now, if you think of a king, the king has a lot of power. Who played chess before? You know, on a chessboard, the king has the most power. Don't play chess against Dion. You'll never beat him. I tried my best. But the king has the most power. So kingship is actually the authority. You move in the power, and you move in that authority of God. Priesthood stands for prayer. So one is not more important, actually, than the other one. They both go hand in hand. It's like my two legs. If I only move for this one, then I'm not going to move forward, because I'm only moving in, let's say, priesthood. If I move in just kingship, I'm not going to move forward, because I'm just moving in kingship. And we'll stand still. We won't actually move forward. And God wants us to continually move forward. Like with the sermon about abide, God wants us to continually bear fruit. He doesn't want us to not just be present and just be. God's design is for us to continually grow in Him and to bear fruit as well. So we are supposed to equally be good at priesthood and kingship. And I feel we all have the same responsibility. Literally doesn't matter who you are, what you do, we all are anointed to do this. And God has called us all to do this. I'm just thinking this last 4 weeks about the Great Commission. You know, it wasn't a suggestion. God didn't say, if you do have time, you know, you're busy at work, please, please see if you have time to go out and make disciples. I know you have a lot of kids. Please see if you can go out and make disciples. I know you like golf a lot, but please see if you can go out and make disciples. So this last 4 weeks, God is really challenging me about discipleship and the Great Commission, and the fact that we aren't actually, okay, not you, but I'm feeling in my heart, I'm not making disciples, and it's a big problem for me because I'm not making disciples. And God commanded me, make disciples, and I'm not making disciples. So that actually means I'm either comfortable, I'm disobedient, I've moved from the Lord, my heart is not with the Lord anymore. But I realize now in this last couple of weeks, like something is missing in my life, because I'm not making disciples. And God is saying, I'm commanding you to make disciples. And I sort of thought about it, and I feel I sort of just laid in bed, and I thought, like, sure, imagine my boss tells me, go and make disciples. Imagine that's my job. Go out and make disciples. I mean, I would be fired in the next... I would have been fired already because I'm not making disciples. Right? Do you guys agree with me? Does it make sense? Are you making disciples? At least I'm not alone. But the Great Commission is not for special people. It's not for the pastor. It's not for the CEO. It's literally for everyone. And it's so important to God that we make disciples. It's really so important. Like, I'm like burdened in a sense, like, man, like, I'm like, and it's going to be uncomfortable. I've got my slides here, but I'm sharing all over the place, so just sort of bear with me and see if you can follow or whatever. But I'm so burdened with the fact that I'm not actively making disciples. Like, I'm confessing it to you, like, and I'm, when I speak about disciple, it's not, I'm going to hook her out with, okay, Auntie Cynthia is going to hook her out with me, because, I mean, she knows the Lord longer than me, so she can teach me. But there's a place where you hook with someone that knows the Lord, but discipleship is taking someone from not knowing the Lord to knowing the Lord. That is like making a disciple. That's my burden every single day. How can I make disciples? And it's not easy. It's literally not easy. I fail every single day. It's uncomfortable to do it. It's literally, but on the other side also, and we have to understand this, it won't happen overnight. Like, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and, you know, I know there's a guy at work that do not know the Lord. I'm going to make him a disciple. It doesn't happen like that. It's literally going to take every single day. You have to constantly remind yourself, I have to make disciples today. I have to share the word with someone today. And it's not a religious thing. Like, I told God, I want to do this. I want to love people. Like, I love you so much that you need to hear the gospel. And I didn't have that, like, I love you so much, I need to share the gospel. And that's where we pray into it. Like, I literally prayed, God, give me the love for people so that I would actually want to see them in the kingdom of God. And God has called us, me and you, to be a witness to the people around us. But I want to encourage you, it's not going to happen in one day. Like, because if I think of my life the last two or whatever years, like, you have to every day train yourself into that. It's not something that's going to happen quickly, but you need to be willing to hold on every single day, building blocks, to a place where you actually start to make disciples, because that's what God has called us to do. And the day we said yes to Jesus, we actually went into a covenant relationship with the Lord, and we actually said yes to making disciples. I don't know if you noticed that. If you have said, yes, Lord, I'm following you, then you get the command, God, and make disciples. So it's something that God has sort of like, okay, I'm with the Lord now, I need to make disciples. Because if you think of it, in the next 5-10 years, Christianity is, don't even know what's going to happen with it if we actually don't make disciples. I mean, if we look at the Old Testament in Israel, I mean, things were going chaos, then Jesus came. So maybe things need to go chaos because the Lord maybe will come. But I feel really that urgency that we need to constantly be convicted of, like, are we making disciples and are we conscious of God wherever we go? And sometimes it's very difficult. I played golf with a random guy yesterday. And so my thinking now is, okay, it's a random guy, I don't know him, he's playing with me. Surely, I mean, come on, I need to at least share my faith with him or whatever. But so I'm conscious of, okay, God, what do you want to do? And I'm asking God, what do I need to say? What do I need to share? I need you, Lord. Tell me what to do. Rabbit trail, so I'm going to go back to the double anointing. So the double portion of the anointing of God is called, he called us all to be kings and priests of him. That is what the double anointing means. Priesthood basically stands for intercession and prayer. So God has called you to priesthood and has called you to kingship, which means the authority and the power of God. And many a times, and I'm sometimes guilty of it, we're like, I'm not going to pray because I can't actually pray. I don't know how to pray. Like, I'll leave it for the special people. And then on the other side, while we actually don't walk in power and we don't walk in authority, is because we aren't walking in priesthood, we're not actually praying to God for the opportunities to share the gospel or to actually have that authority and to actually walk in that power. Now, a lot of us sort of gets this wrong. We look at intercession, and if I say the word, you know, some of us, boring, pray, I'm not going to do that. And this last while, God is actually convicting me of the fact that intercession in church, there's only women, mostly, and Stephen, mostly women praying in intercession. I'm not saying this to actually tell the men, like, we need to go and pray, but this is my conviction, and I'm feeling, flip, man, we're sending our women to the front line to actually go and pray. And I actually want the woman that's in intercession to stand up. No one. There we go. And Stephen, you were there for, I don't know, forever. But I mean, like, this is the people that's actually praying on our behalf. How crazy is that? Four women that's actually going in there and actually presenting themselves before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm praying for this church. I'm praying for this people. Da 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 da. And I'm really convicted that I need to be there because God has called me as a priest and a king and a prophet of my house to lead. But I mean, what's the difference between my house and the church? It's actually supposed to be here as well. I'm not saying it to condemn any man in here, but this is really my conviction and where God is dealing with me about it. So what does intercession stand for? And I'm going to take a look at it because after God convicted me, I'm like, intercession, what does it mean? Sort of know what it means, but you never actually think what the actual word means. But it says the action of intervening on behalf of another, the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another. So they're actually saying a prayer on behalf of us as a church, as a body, as people here. That's a prayer of intercession. I feel we need to go back, all of us, to a place where we actually, and doesn't need to be at intercession, but in your prayer life as well, where we actually intercede for what God wants to do in our lives, what God wants to do at our workplace. I got a message from my boss the other day, a really nice one. You don't get that a lot, but that was a really nice one. I was so afraid to reply because I'm like, I don't like it when people give a lot of compliments because you're like, okay, you don't know what to say, you don't know how to receive it. So I thought of a verse that stuck with me for our company, and I like sort of typed the email and I sent the verse to her. And I can really see, like, she's like, literally means so much to her that someone is interceding for the company. But that's the place where I think we need to get back to, the priesthood of God. Because if you think of it in the Old Testament, the priest used to go into the holies of holies, and he wore the stones and the stuff on his shoulders, and he went to go and present the nation before the Lord. How crazy is that? They went to go and present the nation. And I feel that's what we need to do. We need to go and present our workplace before the Lord. God, what do you want to do in my workplace? So intercession and prayer basically belongs to the body of Christ. It's not for just for individuals. There's a place where it's your anointing. You're called to pray. Like, my wife is like very, in a sense, called to pray. So there is an anointing, but it is literally for anyone. And I feel we are actually limiting God because we're saying, I'm good at this, 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 and then that's just what I'm going to do. But if you look at the Bible and you look at Jesus, he actually flew, whatever anointing he needed at the time, God gave him that. You can't say he was good in this or that, but he literally, if he had to give words of wisdom, he received it. When he had to heal, he received it. So whatever God wants to give to you at that place, when you are in front of someone, God will literally give you that as he gave Jesus. Then there's the other side, the kingship part. This is where you actually are in the authority. So you have priesthood, you're praying, you're interceding for your family, your friends, your workplace, but it can't stay there. can't stay there. It needs to move to kingship, because you need to move in that authority and in that power. And the outflow of priesthood is kingship. They go like hand in hand together. And that's why I say, if we don't pray for revival, we're not going to move in revival, because we aren't praying for it. If we aren't praying for whatever you feel God has called you to pray into, you can't move in it if it's not prayed in. Like, prayer is literally the foundation of our whole life. And we've got 4 days to literally, like, God, what do you want us to intercede for? What do you want us to pray for? Who do you want us to pray for, Lord? Because we want to see revival. We want to see revival at our work, at our home, and at the golf course, of course. Now, all the golf players will say, amen. But on a serious note, revival starts in our prayer room. When you close the door, when you spend time with God, that's where revival starts, literally. So literally, it's not going to start anywhere. It's not going to start in a Sunday morning. It's literally, if you're at a place where you say, God, revival, that's where it's going to start. If all of us are in that place, I'm 100% sure God's going to do something in our city. So according to the level of your private life before God is the level of your strength and nothing more. You're actually as powerful as your prayers are. That's how you move in kingship. So the question is, if we're not moving in kingship, then we need to start praying. Because we don't have the boldness to do it, because it's not, we're not praying for it. It's not prayed in. And priesthood is very important to God. Like, if you think of the Old Testament, God actually intended all of us to hear his voice from the beginning. Like, when God created Adam and Eve, he intended for us to hear his voice. Man failed. God used Moses, Aaron. Everybody else sort of failed. Jesus came and he restored the original plan, which is, I don't want Moses and Aaron just to hear my voice, but I want all of you to hear my voice. And God would go to plan or person B if person A wasn't obedient. Aaron failed because God said, and I actually want to read the scripture to you. Give me a second. In Exodus 19, verse 6, he says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Like, this is what God said. Like, I want the nation to be a priest unto me. So I basically want them to hear my voice. And God never told Moses to, it's just for your people, it's just for Aaron and his family. But God actually extended the invite. Like, I want every single person to hear my voice, to walk in the priesthood, in the intercession and the prayers. And the outflow of that, like I mentioned now, is kingship. And God poured out his spirit on all flesh. If you think of it, Jesus came, went away, the Holy Spirit came, and this is the original plan. Like, I want to speak to you, and I want you to be able to hear my voice. It just took a lot of years for us to actually understand it. So every person here belongs to priesthood. Like, you are able to pray because the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You will be able to walk in kingship because that's the same Spirit that will enable you to walk in kingship. And I want to share a scripture in 1 Peter 2, verse 5 to 7 that says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, all of us, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, to you, belief is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So God wants us to be kings and priests unto him. He wants us to pray and intercede in our quiet, and he wants us to walk out in that authority, in signs, in wonders, because we've spent time with him. We've connected with God. We know his heart. We know his word. But we need to go and walk in it. And I feel like we sort of, in between that, we lose it a bit. We either, I don't have the boldness, but like literally the boldness will come from prayer. Or, God, I'm struggling to pray, but God has anointed you. And I hope that our view will be different when it comes to prayers or intercession, that God has actually anointed you to pray unto him. In Matthew 6, verse 6, it says, when you pray, when I saw this like blew my mind. When you pray, go into your room. Not that part, because you obviously pray in your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And I thought, like, sure, like openly, like God's going to reward me openly. Like, and I first thought, it's so nice to spend time with God because you feel him, you hear him, but then like, you have to go, you have to move to kingship, you have to go actually speak with people and you have to share the word. And I'm like, yeah, it's just nice to actually be here. Like, I feel so safe here, like this is nice. But the verse actually says that unless we walk in the authority, we won't be rewarded openly. And I highlighted there that to go into your room and pray is actually the priesthood of prayer in your secret place. The kingship is the authority, the power, the signs, and the wonders. So God will reward you openly if you seek him in the quiet. When no one else is looking, when you can't kneel or lift your hands, literally in that quiet place, that's where God wants to connect with you and wants to make you bold so that you can be rewarded in the secret place. The secret place is your work, it's your family, it's wherever you find yourself, literally. But tonight, we're going to go into that place of priesthood. We're going to go, and it's not going to be your normal, let's all dance and let's pray, and then we go home. It's literally going to be, we're going to glorify God, we're going to move in the kingship, the priesthood of God, and we're going to worship, and we're going to literally pray into. I've actually got a few verses for us to pray into. So I please want to invite you to come and do the practicality of this message of priesthood. Because I believe if we all are on the same page, things will happen. So we're going to pray. We're going to literally share a verse. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we're going to pray in tongues. We're going to worship God. We're going to pray into this. God, make us hungry. Make us thirsty. Lord, we're so dependent on you. Forgive us if we have satisfied our hunger with food, other food, and if we drank from other wells. So God is going to stir some urgency within us as a body if this is going to be our life, like literally dependency on God. And the other verse I want us to pray into tonight is Ezekiel 36. That says, and I broke this up for us because we're going to see God and find out, Lord, how are we going to do it? What do we need to do? And in Ezekiel 36, like I read, says, this is the Lord. On the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will enable you to dwell in the cities and the ruins shall be rebuilt. First of all, it says, this is the Lord. So we're going to come together. Lord, what are you saying? Because it says, this is the Lord. We're going to pray into, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want us to do? Then it says, cleansing from all your iniquities. Lord, show us what needs to be cleansed. Not some inside of us, but on the outside, Lord, what needs to be cleansed? Like what's happening on the streets? And you'll be amazed what God actually shows you. Actually, literally shows you. He'll show you that people are speaking stuff against you. They're standing on this road here and pray into that. Or even like, God, what needs to be cleansed inside of us? Because we want to hear your voice. Then it says, dwell in the cities. God, we need the dwelling in the cities. We need the glory of God to come in the city. I also feel like we need to pray for Ukraine because they need the indwelling of the glory of God at this moment, and Russia, of course. But if we don't pray, nothing is going to happen because we are seeking God We are moving in the priesthood of God. Lord, make a change that side. And then the last, the ruins shall be rebuilt. And if there's anything that we need as a country and as humans is for the ruins that has been done over the last odd years, that needs to be rebuilt. And I'm not specifically speaking about political stuff, but really trusting God for the land and for South Africa to be saved. Can we stand?